So if you were here last week, if you heard us online, you may remember that I invited you to take on a Lenten practice this Lent. And so we're going to practice it together right now. I'm going to ask you to make the sign of the cross on your over yourself, on your forehead or over yourself, and say, I am baptized and beloved.
I am baptized and beloved.
And I hope that you're remembering to do that every day during this season of Lent, to remember what grounds you and holds you in the faith that we share. So this week, I was visiting with a friend of mine, Francesca, and we were talking about traveling. She's an avid traveler, and so am I. We talked about places we've been and places we're going, including Ireland. And she told me a story that she has recently read in the Smithsonian Magazine. It is a story about Ireland and the Choctaw Nation. In 1847, you may remember from history, the Irish people were experiencing a famine. There was blight on the potato crop, which was their main food crop. There was great famine, many people starving, many people migrating from Ireland looking for a place to live. An Irish-American government official who was part of the Memphis Irish Relief Commission visited the Choctaw people where they were living in the territory of Oklahoma and told them of the mass starvation and land evictions happening in Ireland. The Choctaw people were deeply moved. They could relate to the story of starvation and being dispossessed of land, because less than 10 years before, they had been forcibly removed from their homelands in what is known as the Trail of Tears, moved from their homelands in the southern states to the territory that's now Oklahoma. Nearly 60,000 people removed from their land, and nearly a quarter of them died on the way. And so, despite their own impoverished circumstances, the Choctaw people collected money to send to Ireland to help with the famine relief efforts. Not a huge amount of money, but a great act of compassion. And I thought, as I heard the story, that is what it means to take up a cross. It means being moved by the suffering of another and reaching out to help. It means giving not what is left over, but sharing even what you yourself need with another who is also in need. Last week, I said that Lent is a baptismal journey into the death and resurrection of Jesus. The call to take up a cross gets to the heart of what it means to journey into the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to suffer and die and rise again. And I'm sure that Peter is really speaking for all of them when he says, "Surely that can't happen to you, Jesus." Jesus has just finished telling them that he is the Messiah. They can't understand that Jesus is going to die, because that is not what the Messiah is supposed to do. The Messiah is supposed to lead them to victory over Rome, to save them from occupation and oppression. The ideas that Jesus is the Messiah and that Jesus will be rejected and killed are just a contradiction. And Peter gets stuck on the prediction of his death. He doesn't seem to hear or certainly to understand what Jesus says about rising again. Then Jesus turns to the crowds and says, "Whoever would follow me must take up a cross, must deny themselves and give up their lives for the sake of the gospel." To take up a cross means not simply to suffer, but to choose something difficult for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, speaking good news to the poor, and loving the outcast. In the 1970s, a group of young adults in El Paso wanted to live more closely with Jesus, by serving the poor. Given use of a building from the Diocese of El Paso, they quickly realized that the most vulnerable poor in their city were undocumented immigrants who couldn't access any other services. Early in their planning, the young people were able to speak with Mother Teresa while she was visiting in El Paso. And she told them, "You are announcing the good news." And that is where their name, Annunciation House, came from. Now, after almost 50 years serving poor migrants in El Paso, and serving, I have to say, in cooperation with ICE, who works closely with them to provide shelter to asylum seekers, the state of Texas is going after Annunciation House, accusing them of human smuggling. The director of Annunciation House, Ruben Garcia, saw this coming. In January of 2023, he said to a bipartisan delegation of U.S. senators, "The church is at risk because the volunteers are asking themselves, if I feed someone who's unprocessed, if I give a blanket to someone who's unprocessed, if I help them get off the street, am I liable to be prosecuted for that? Shame on us that on this day this is even being brought up in the United States." Community leaders in El Paso are rallying around Annunciation House, but the future is uncertain. It is all too easy to look around us and to see places of suffering. In so many ways, All Saints as a congregation and each one of us individually seek ways to serve people in need in our community and around the world. And part of that is our support for Annunciation House, for Cristo Rey in El Paso, for migrants in so many ways. But some days it's hard to know how to make a difference. Like Peter, it can be easy for us to get stuck on the suffering and death, and harder to see places of resurrection. We hear the news, thousands killed by war in Ukraine and Gaza. Another mass shooting, this time at a parade and with children caught in the crossfire. A non-binary Two-Spirit Choctaw youth bullied at school and beaten so badly they died of their injuries. My friends, this one's hitting me hard this morning. I'm seeing in my mind the faces of the young people I've known who are trans and non-binary, and I fear for them. New Testament professor Dong Hyung-jong writes, "The hope of resurrection is heavy. The weight is taxing. The uncertain future is exhausting. And yet we believe because the hope of resurrection reflects how life is in the first place. Life is ambiguous, unpredictable, and mysterious. Following Jesus was never meant to make life easy, predictable, and obvious. Rather, the hope of resurrection validates where we are, the life that we live. We are seen by God. To take up a cross is nothing new, especially for those who are already living such a life. We live in this tension between suffering and hope, the suffering we know and the suffering that we see around us, between death and resurrection. I am grateful for churches like All Saints, for churches like St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Stillwater, Oklahoma, an inclusive community in a place where such a stance is not easy. St. Andrew's this week held a vigil for Nex Benedict, the young person who was killed, and for her community, for their community to grieve. But sometimes we get to hear a story of new life. The story of the Irish and the Choctaw is such a story. For 150 years, the story of the Choctaw's gift was nearly forgotten. Then an Irish historian studying the potato famine heard about it, and he visited the Choctaw Nation to thank them for their gift. This began a series of exchanges and a relationship that has grown between the two peoples. In 2018, the Irish Prime Minister visited the Choctaw Nation in Oklahoma. He made a heartfelt speech promising the act of kindness would never be forgotten. And he announced a new scholarship program for Choctaw students to attend school in Ireland. This picture is of Austin West, a 23-year-old young person who is at the Kindred Spirits Monument in Cork County, Ireland, a monument remembering the gift of the Choctaw people to the Irish. And during the pandemic, when the people in Ireland heard that the Diné and Hopi people were hit so hard by COVID, they raised almost $2 million to send in aid to them. I love this story because it shows how a relatively small act done with great love has formed a deep relationship and affected so many lives. How taking up a cross for the sake of compassion can make a difference. It points to hope of new life even in the midst of death. And so we give thanks to God for hope, for compassion, and for the promise of resurrection. The promise that God has made to us even on the days it's hard to see. Amen.